Well, when you became a believer, your eyes were opened. And when you became a believer, your eyes were opened to a world that was unseen to you as a non-believer. And as a non-believer, you see it as, I'm a survivalist, I'm going to survive, what else can I do, what can I get, trying to survive and live life. But as a believer, your eyes are open. Once we receive Christ, our eyes are open to things that we would never see. You cannot see as an unbeliever. And there are also things that you learn as a believer that non-believers don't know. Now, they can hear things, but they don't know. They don't understand it. They've not experienced it or experienced the things that believers are and have experienced. So what we see here is today we're going to talk about some of those things. When our eyes are open as believers, we begin to see some things. And life looks different. And our choices are different, but we still have a struggle. And so we're going to be in Romans chapter 7 and 7 and 8 today. We're going to move around there a little bit. So as we turn to Romans 7, I'm going to pray. Father, Lord, again, thank you for the opportunity today just to assemble ourselves together as believers and to lift up your name through song, but also, Lord, to learn from your word. We lift up this time that we might hear it. And let it sink into our hearts and have spiritual food today. In Christ's name, amen. And so what we see here is Paul is writing this letter to this is the book of Romans, this letter to the people of Rome. And here we're going to see here what he's talking about, what we're talking about today. So he says in verse 19 of chapter 7 in Romans, he's going to talk about this battle that there is inside of a believer, and non-believers, people that don't have Christ, they struggle with their conscience. They know right from wrong in certain ways, but again, it's all over the place. But as a believer, we should be on the same page. Here it is in verse 19, "For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I don't want to do, that I do not want to do. Now, if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one that does it, but it is sin that lives in me. So I discover this law. When I want to do what is good, evil is present with me, for in the inner self I delight in God's law, but I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body." So we see there is a struggle there. And doing, I don't do what I know I need to do, but I'm also doing things that I don't want to do. And we have this peace. And as a non-believer, it's just your conscience. But as a believer, we have the Holy Spirit who convicts our hearts and our spirit and ourselves. Now I'm going to stop right there for a minute. If you didn't know what I was talking about today, and you've been a Christian for 3 to 5 years, you should know that already. And if you don't, then you're not working on your own personal discipleship. We can help you with that on Sunday mornings before we do this. We can help you with that. That's my plug, Phil. We can help you with that because we should know that. And you'll hear it through preaching through time, but it might take you 20 years of what you can learn in 5 years. You can learn in 5 years instead of 20, 25 years. We are all responsible to grow in our walk with the Lord. And here it is, Paul is talking about, I'm struggling with doing what I know I need to do, but I'm also struggling doing things that I know I shouldn't be doing. And it's a struggle, and it is a big struggle. He says this, he says, I practice the evil that I don't want to do, but he also says, evil is present within me. There is always going to be a battle on this side of heaven to do right from wrong. We just have the Holy Spirit that guides us in the ways that the Lord wants us to go. So we have direction, we have the light before us, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And guides us. And there's a war going on because once we become a believer, the goal for darkness is for you not to live your life in a righteous way of living for God. And the other part of it is that you don't open your mouth and share what God's done with you in your life, what he's done in your life, but he also doesn't want you to open your mouth and share the gospel. That's what darkness wants to do. And if he can deter all of that, all he does is work on you and have these moments of temptation and sin and get you to move into the areas of sinning so that you'll have no power as a Christian. Now, I know we get busy in life. I'm telling you, I know we get busy in life. I'm not going to tell you my whole life, but I know what it's like to work full time. I know what it's like to serve full time. And I've learned a long time ago, it's this, I can try to balance everything, but I can't do it. But I can do it in the Lord. And I've done it and been able to do it in the Lord. And sometimes I got to set other things aside. Sometimes I got to do what I need to do in the Lord. And here he's struggling. He's saying there's a split. There's a thing. So how do I do this? How do I do this? How do I live this life when I know I got, it's like this renovation we're doing. We got a white wall and we got a dark wall. And so it won't be like that hopefully soon. We're working on that. But and anyway, another plug is if you want to help with any of it, all you got to do is get with me or Phil, and we'll tell you when you just kind of come in. We'll work around your schedule if it's best fit. We'll do that. Because I'm going to tell you, when it's all said and done, you're going to hope and wish you would have put something in it. Then you just sit there and watch when you come in. This is kind of almost a home front message today a little bit, just putting stuff in, because then you can say when someone doesn't like something, you can say, oh man, I did part of that. I put some elbow grease in it. Listen, I don't care how old you are, you can still help. And so here we find this part here. He doesn't do what he wants to do, but he does things he doesn't want to do, but he can't get to the point where he wants to do what he's called to do. And so he struggles. He says, how am I going to do this? It seems like I'm a mess. I'm a broken. But the next scripture says this in verse 24. What a wretched man I am. He admits, I am a wretched man. I am not really worthy. I'm a wretched man. Who will rescue me from this bodily body of death? Who will rescue me? He answers it. He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself am serving the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. He goes ahead and he says, listen, I know I can't do this, but with God, through Christ, I can do this. I can live the life that God's called me to live if I let God be God and let Jesus be Jesus and let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit and let them guide me. Some of our problems we have in our life is because we're taking control of it. Listen, when you became a believer, you gave your life over to God. You gave your life over to Christ. And let's let him lead, because he does a lot better with life than we do. But he says, I'm serving the law of God. Yes, but with my flesh, the law of sin. So I know that in my heart and my spirit, I want to do the right things. I just want to do the right things. But in my flesh, I struggle. My spirit says, yes, follow God. My flesh says, I'm struggling, but that's okay. We're going to work. You can press through that. But you can only press through it through Christ. And then he says in chapter 8, verse 1, he says, therefore, there is no condemnation. This is a tough one for people to grasp. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, period. Okay? And he's going to say because. But here it is. There is no condemnation. Listen, when Jesus came and died upon the cross, he died for all sins. If you are a believer, he died for all your sins. And it is true. Past, present, and future. And if it wasn't so, then we would be lost again. And then we need to get saved again. Then we need to get lost again. And we'd be saved again. Listen, Jesus, that one crucifixion, that one gift of salvation was enough. More than Scripture says, we would be doing it all over again. But he says, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. If you are a believer, listen, you have that forgiveness. You got to live in this world in the flesh. You have to live. You have to live for the Lord, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin. So Jesus, he has set you free. Now we got to live like we're free. That's where we struggle. We have to live like we're free. Not going back into bondage. Not going back into the way that we used to live. That's a struggle that many believers have. And they find that they live their whole life. They live their whole life with their salvation, but they haven't done anything with it. And yes, they will stand there before the Lord, but it will not be for them being condemned and being separated. It'll be for other things. And so we see here in verse 26, it says, in the same way, the Spirit. Now we move into this area of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit does a lot of amazing things. When you became a believer, God deposited the Holy Spirit inside of you, because you're not going to be able to do it without the Holy Spirit. You're just not. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. It's God's Spirit. And he puts that inside the believer. Okay? Ephesians says, and then sealed to the day of redemption. Okay? So you are a believer. You have the Holy Spirit. It's inside of you. He deposits that inside of you. You're one of mine. He puts it inside of you. It will guide you. It is the Spirit of God. It does a lot of things. And here's one of the main, here's one of the big things that it does in verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. So we don't have enough strength. So we know everything is always leaning on Jesus, leaning on God, leaning on the Holy Spirit, because we don't have it. We don't have it. And here it is. We have weaknesses. So He helps us in our weaknesses because we do not even know what to pray for as we should. So He's saying we should know what to pray for, but we struggle know what to pray for. You know why? Because we know what to pray for, but the flesh creeps in, even in times of prayer at times. And we're praying, and then we pray through the flesh instead of through the Spirit. And the Spirit says, or He says here, the Spirit helps us in weaknesses, and it helps us in praise. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. That means we may not hear it, but there's an interceding part. I'm telling you, when you got saved, God put a big package in front of you, and it takes a lifetime to unpack it. But there's some things that we should be able to unpack pretty quickly, because we're discipling, we're growing in our walk with Him. So we have that peace there. We have that peace that we know that we have Him with us. And the Holy Spirit intercedes with us with unspoken groanings. And verse 27, and He who searches our hearts, that's God, knows the mind of the Spirit, because they're one. God knows. God, the Holy Scripture always says that God searches our heart. Okay? And you can fool people. We can fool people with our words. We can even fool people with actions. But God knows the heart. Okay? Everything comes out of the heart. Even the outward flow comes from the heart. And He says, He who searches our heart, our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. There's a lot of interceding. We're going to even see another one down here. There's a lot of interceding. Now, I'm telling you what, God knows how to take care of His people. God knows how to take care of you. God knows how to take care of me. God knows how to take care of this church. God knows how to take care of the ministries and everything that we do. And He intercedes. He intercedes in so many ways. And He intercedes for the will of God. How many of y'all pray that, say, God, lead me into the ways that You want? And we find ourselves drifting from that very quickly. And we find ourselves wrestling, and that's that wrestling part. And so there's groanings in there. There's groanings in there that the Holy Spirit does, because we struggle with our walk with God at times. And then verse 28, as we've been reading the last couple of weeks, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to His purposes. Basically, God is working something. He's working something. He's working a purpose. But His purpose is for Him. It's His purpose to lift up. And it is to do good things in your life for those. Now, here's one we can wrestle with. For He who foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. There's a lot in there, but here's what people get hung up on. Yeah, I like the glorified. I like that. Ooh, predestined. Oh my gosh, did God say, hey, this side is going to go to heaven and this side is not? And this side, well, we don't know what you're going to do with you yet. God, here it is. I heard this the other day, and it's amazing. I can't remember where I heard it, but it's an amazing piece. And it was saying that God is like a reader of a book. And all through it, He can pick time any once. And He can poke in anywhere He wants. And we're all in this book. But another way I look at that also is looking at this predestined. People say, oh, it's predestined, basically. And I got brothers who believe in, they're Calvinists and they're Reformed. And there's a big movement of that and saying, hey, you know what is? When you were born, you already determined if you're going to be saved or not. So you really don't get an opportunity. It's just, you're just not going to be saved, and you just don't get heaven. You just don't get the Lord. Even as hard as you want to work for it, you don't get it because it was already laid out before you. That scares people to death. And here it is. I believe God knows all things, but I also believe God also does His words where He says, whosoever will. And God came for the whole world that they might be saved. And there's a whole lot of scripture that I believe this predestined means, and this is me, I believe what it means is God predestined all of His believers to have these things. He has a predestined plan for all believers. We see that in the book of Revelation. We see that what Jesus teaches. We see that all the way through the Old Testament. God has predestined a plan of a new heaven and a new earth. God has predestined a pathway for all of His believers. That's where I believe the predestined part comes from. Is there times when he does what the Pharaoh's, what he did with the Pharaoh, that his purpose in him was to harden his heart? Yes, God is God and God can do what he wants. He is God. Let's quit telling God what he can and can't do. And let's just quit trying to think that we can think like God, because we can't. We are creation. We are his creation, and the creation doesn't always know what the creator does. But he's given us this book, and he's given us the word, and we do this. So I believe that he has justified that, and those he justified, he also glorified. God is taking care of his believers, and he's taking care of you. And if the idea of it is, are you letting him take care of you? And then he goes down here, he says in verse 31, what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? All this stuff we just really quickly went through, what is against us? No. Really, if God is for us, who is against us? Well, we know who is against us. It's the things of the darkness. Dark world, the dark side is who is against us. But who is against us? We have God so much there. In verse 32, he did not even spare his own son. Now listen, that right there is a big piece. The cost for your salvation was God's own son. The cost for you to be adopted, the cost for you to be adopted and be put in the family of God was at the cost of God's own son. I knew a couple recently that were going to fly over to another foreign country in Asia to pick up a baby. They were adopting. And they said we had in that country, I think it might have been, it was a country where they had to stay there for 6 weeks to bond. 6 weeks to bond. And I'm sure it costs a lot of money to adopt a baby from another country. And here it is. People will strive to, if they can't have babies, many will strive to do what they can. And America makes it very difficult. And so a lot of them will go overseas to do what they can do. And they'll take all their money because they want a child. They want a baby that bad. I want to tell you, God wants our salvation more than all that together. Because God gave his only son, the one that he had, and he gave his only son so that we could be adopted and have that salvation, be part of his family. So he didn't even spare his own son, but offered him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? If we are part of that family, we are adopted children, we are his children, he saved us, we are part of that. Is God going to take care of us? Yes. Yes, he will, and he has. And he has. Verse 33, who can bring an accusation against God's elect? Oh, that's a tough one. Oh, there's another one that the Reform likes. The elect, it's just believers. It's believers. The elect. It's like, it is the elect. And that's who we are. People use it because they'll say it's all like being elected, but the elect is those who, it's the same thing about the predestined. These were people that have come to Christ. This was that predestined piece, that elect, the elected. And so it's a good piece to be part of that. But who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. So God has justified us as we're believers. We can't stand on our own, but God gives us strength to stand on. He gives us strength to stand. And what gives us strength to stand is because we have salvation, because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We have a Father that is in heaven. He is our Creator. God is the one who justifies. Who is the one that condemns? Who is the one that condemns? It is Christ Jesus is the one who died. But even more, has been raised. He has also is at the right hand of the God and intercedes for us. Here we find that word intercedes again. Now, have you noticed we've been talking about God? We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about now Jesus. All of them together, they are one. They make it together. They're one, but they're also their own as well. How? And people go, I got to figure that out. Let me tell you, you're not going to figure it out. You can put three colors on a canvas and say, I have a painting that's one painting and three different colors. There's all kinds of analogies to do it. But to really figure it out, we're not going to figure it out on this side of heaven. Why do we, this is what gets me. Why are we trying, we're trying to figure out all these deep pieces, and I get it because I struggle with some scripture. I work through it. We try to work all these deep pieces in, and we pay, and people pay to study the stuff, and they do all that stuff, but they can't live their life for Christ. I think God would rather you live your life for Him. Work, invest in living your life for Him. don't have to dig down roads we don't need to dig and go down. But he also sees Jesus is at the right hand of God and interceding for us. Interceding for you and I. We're believers. If you're a believer, he intercedes for us. Now, if you're not a believer today, you intercede on your own behalf. You stand on your own two feet. And I tell you, before you stand before God, you will not stand. You will not stand. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ, he's the one. That don't save them. Jesus intercedes for you and I. Even he intercedes for us. He didn't save it just for salvation. He saved us for good purposes in his work. God is amazing. Holy Spirit is amazing. And Jesus is amazing. And then he says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Christ is going to keep loving you no matter what. As a believer, Christ died for you. And you called out on his name that day, that night, wherever you were at. You called upon him and you said, I need you, God. I need you, Jesus, in my life. You confessed your sins and asked him to be a part of your life, to come into your life. And you began to turn your life back. Or you gave your life that you had and you gave it to Christ. And here it is. With all of that, he loves you. You see, here's something that we don't really look at. We always look through our eyes. Let's try to look for it. Even though we can't really grasp it, let's try to turn the tables a little bit. You see, Jesus sees us every day. He knows who you talked to already. He's seen you walk. He knows where you got. He knows exactly. He knows what time you woke up. He knows this. He knows everything you've done already this morning. But see, here's the thing. He sees us every day. He's sitting at the right hand of God. God sees us. The Holy Spirit's moving. And all that. It's all working. But here's something. Jesus sees us, but we don't see him. So how is that possible? Because we believe by faith. And God, Christ, Holy Spirit says, they believe. That person believes in me and accepted me and my gift of salvation. The moving of the Holy Spirit, of course, was upon that person. They chose to receive and accept the gift out of faith. Not out of seeing, but out of faith. And so God sees us, and he sees us, and he sees us, and then we see it, and so out of faith. So God sees us. So don't think that we are nothing. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? God loves us. Christ loves us because, this is part of it, is because we have faith in him. He sees that we believe in him, yet have never seen him. Yeah, that's big. That's big. And he knows that we long to see him one day. And the Bible says, the scripture says, that we will see him one day. We will see him one day. And it will be a celebration for those who have received a part of the family. It will be a celebration. It will be laid out like no other. But who can separate us from the love of Christ? No, nothing. Here's what it says. Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. These are time of persecution right there. That last big, and that was also referenced, I believe, in Isaiah. But here's what we see here. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. You know this, no matter what you're going through every day, no matter what you are going through, you are loved. As a believer, you are loved as a believer. You are loved. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. Even for people that go to a hotel room and take a gun, go to a hotel room and decide to check out, I'm telling you, Christ is still loving that person. No matter what you did, Christ still loves you. Now, does God discipline? Yep, the Bible says God disciplines those whom he loves. And he does it to get us back on the right path. But nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. Not a thing. Nothing. In verse 37, know in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now we're almost switching from interceding to now love. And so we see, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now we're called conquerors. What? Before we were unsaved, now we're saved. And God is showing all these things that we have. We are conquerors. I tell you, that is a That's a growth piece that takes a little time to understand as a believer. As you're walking your own personal discipleship with God, you'll understand that when you become a conqueror, really what that means. And it takes a minute because we think of conquering as like Attila the Hun or something like that. We think of a military piece where we are conquering and we're like, oh, okay, I'm growing. I'm a conqueror. Listen, conquering, what does that mean really? It says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What does that mean? Well, we trampled over death, we trampled over sin, we trampled over death because Christ is in us and he's forgiven us. We have the Holy Spirit. We can also be conquerors in parts of our lives where we can never have victory in our life in the past because we have Christ in us. We can have victory over these certain things in our life. There's all kinds of things that we are conquerors over, and that does, and the dark side does not like us to know any of those things, because once you know them and you put them into practice, you'll find out that God does a lot of work through you and you become strong through your walk with him. So here he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing above thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing. Now I know that there are some people that believe if I've sinned, then I gotta get saved again. Nope. There's people that believe if they sin a lot and the bowl gets full, then I've got to go back and I got to get saved again. Listen, there's a thing called you need to repent, of course. We need to repent. And the Holy Spirit is convicting you, telling you, you know what you're doing is wrong. With a lost person, what they feel is conscience. What they feel is right or wrong. It's whatever they want, whatever their conscience is telling them. But the Holy Spirit convicts in our hearts, telling us what is right and what is wrong. And we know that conviction. We have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads us. And the Holy Spirit's going to lead us in the ways that of God, always in the way of the Lord. But there's nothing that can separate us, nothing that can separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ. There's nothing. 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 Absolutely nothing. There's nothing. And I wish we would live and serve like we know we're loved. And we feel it and we love back. But if we don't read these scriptures, you won't know that Christ. I mean, you may feel it, you may hurt it, but you got to understand it. No, God, this is almost like this is a letter that Paul writes to Rome and said, listen, you need to know though. Hey, man, we're more than conquerors. Come on, here it is. Nothing. He said, I'm persuaded neither to death or life. Nothing can separate us this side of heaven and the other side. Nothing can separate us. We are bought at the price. This is the power of the blood of Christ. This is the power of the love of God and the power of the love of God being buried, dying, being buried, and resurrection. It was all for a purpose. It was all for a purpose to draw men, humankind, to God. A family. Family is the hardest thing because you got all kinds of people, all kinds of personalities, all kinds of problems. Every family has problems. Every family. Nobody's kids are ever going in the right direction. It seems like there's always one or two off in the left field. You got marriages aren't always good. You got always these problems. And even when you think of marriages, even into the church, the churches have problems. The denominations have its problems. Worldwide, the church has its problems. And it looks like the whole thing is just a hot mess. But God has a purpose in all of it. God's able and wants, he works through all of it, allowing us to know that we are loved. Nothing will separate us. Even with all those problems, we're going to come together. When Christ calls us home, and he calls us home, we'll all be together. And there'll be no problems in heaven with that family. You know why? Because we'll have a Father in heaven. And it'll be perfect. It'll be perfect. It'll be perfect. And being perfect knows that we will understand and know that we love and we receive love and then we give love and we understand those things. Today I wanted to share with you some of the things that we have as believers. And these are powerful, basic things that we have. These are basic things that we should understand as a believer. These are some basic things that we should understand and know. as a believer. We should understand and know that we don't always do what we want to do. We understand what that means. We need to understand and know that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can. But if you don't know that today, I'm telling you, you should have already known that. I've dodged this message for 3 weeks because I figured people just knew it. But the Holy Spirit kept telling me, they don't know that. I mean, all Christians should know that. But we don't know that. One, because I believe, honestly, that preachers are preaching messages on feel good. Preaching messages on what makes you feel good when you walk out the door. Preaching messages that says that same-sex marriages are okay, or those things that are sinful in the Bible, that they can turn and twist the scriptures and make it okay. And we hear that stuff, even though you don't, most of you, I know you don't believe in that stuff, but you hear it. And you hear it a lot, and it clicks into your brain a lot. And you may not believe it, and I know, and that's good. I don't believe in it either, but you get clicked in it. It hits. And you have to be at the part you need to remember. You need to keep going back to the Word of God so that you'll be reminded what the truth is. Because if you don't get to the Word of God 3-4 months later, maybe 3-4 years later, you forgot even where the Scripture was. You haven't read your Bible much. And what happens is you find yourself letting that other stuff click and click. And all of a sudden it just takes one thing. And then you're just like, well, I think that's okay. Wait a minute, maybe that's okay. And the problem is we're thinking and not reading. We're thinking and talking instead of reading and listening. You are responsible for your own discipleship. We at the church here at New Life is responsible for offering it. But it is up to you to grab it and eat from it. Eat from the Word of God. Because we don't always have it in us to read it at home all the time. So we need to be accountable to a group. And so I'm challenging you to reach out and be a part of something here that will teach you the Word. And we need to be stronger in the Word here. We need not to be 2 inches deep in the spiritual. We need to be deep. You don't have to have a loud preacher and music loud in the dark light, or the lights down dim, and have an emotional, oh, we didn't have the Holy Spirit here today, or did you feel the Holy Spirit here today? And have that emotion. I'm not saying that those things can happen, but I want to tell you, sometimes it's in the church where the pastor is monotone at times. I know it's tough. Maybe even singing a hymn song here or there. And maybe not everybody's raising their hands. But God is not looking to be impressed. You hear me now? God is not looking to be impressed. If he wants to be impressed, he just got to look over at his angels and what they're doing over there. Because they know how to do all their stuff. And you can read it in Isaiah chapter 6. God's not looking to be impressed. What he's looking for is men and women, his children, with a desire to grow. A desire and a love for him. A desire to sacrifice. See, in the Old Testament, you had all these sacrifices. Can't even keep up with them. You almost got to be a theologian to keep up with all of them. There's so many. Because there was no way for man to do enough. And they still weren't enough. But God sent his Son, and it was enough. And then our generation says, oh, Jesus is enough. And we get that. And then we say, oh, I'm saved. I got it. I'm good to go. We've lost a lot of things in the church today. We've lost reverence. Yeah. We've lost reverence. We lost a joy, many of us. We've lost sacrifice. Today, well, there was a Facebook page. You guys can't get on it because it's only for Baptist pastors. And I was looking at a Facebook thing, and I was... This was the question. Hey, pastors, this is the pastor. Hey, pastors, we have a lot of money. We have somebody in the church that really wants, as a deacon, we really want, I don't know why the Baptist always wants to pick on deacons. He says, hey, we really want to, we have a lot of money. We just want to figure out how to invest that money. So we want to invest that money, and then we'll use some of that money for ministry, and we'll do that. And then somebody says, hey, I know a church that had $30 million, and they did some investing too. That might be a good thing too, $30 million. And then somebody said, oh, I don't know if that's the right thing to do. And there was a bunch of comments on there. I could not resist. I don't get on there much, but I could not resist. Besides the things I just listed, the other part that made people think is a successful church is a church that has money. A church that has got deep pockets. And I tell you, a church, let me tell you, you don't, there's nothing wrong with having money. There's not. I'm not a prosperity preacher at all. I think we all know that. But when's the last time you gave and it kind of stung? I'm not asking anything from you. I'm just sharing. When's the last time you gave and it kind of stung? That's a sacrifice. This offerings are what we do regularly. But I'm just saying, that's a sacrifice is when you do something and it kind of stings. Yet my peers are out there saying $30 million. Let's figure out how to get. And I said, money. I said, all you want is money, money, more and more and more. I said, and then I erased it because I didn't want to seem like I was angry. But that's what came back. Money, 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 money. And Jesus didn't come for money. Matter of fact, God owns it all. You can't have to impress Him with anything. God wants your heart. He wants your service. He wants your dedication. He wants everything. Is that really too much to ask? From God gave His own Son. God wants everything. Now I'm going to share my heart with you. I went through that message pretty quick, and that is a 45-minute message. I promise you, that's a 45-minute message, right, Phil? That's a lot of verses. And we're also talking, Mike, I know he knows his Bible. I know Ed knows his Bible. Romans is a tough book. Romans can be some of those chapters can be tough. So I really went through it very, very quickly. But I want to tell you, this is where I feel as a pastor. This is about as far as we can go right now. This is about as far as we're going to get. Until we decide we want to go further. This is about as far as we're going to go. And what I mean by that, this is as far as we're going to go. This is our pivotal. This is our peak. And we could sit here and say, you know what? We have arrived. We've done it. We've got great ministries. And we can go back and we can sit back. And yeah, we'll get the Life Center going. And we can sit back and just ride out. But I tell you what, if we do, our funds will dry up quick. Everything we got will dry up, but here it is. Sometimes God waits on the people. Such as, all you got to do, some of you guys are reading Exodus, you get it. God does His big piece in the front end, and then He waits on the people. What I'm asking, what I'm challenging you today is to pray for New Life, to pray for us as a church. I don't think God is done with us. I think God has some great things in front of us, but I don't know. We're going to need some of you newer people to step it up. Be a part of the church and membership. Think about it. Process it. Quit playing around out on the outer edges. Be the man. Be the woman. Be the family God wants you to be. There's certain things you can and can't do here. You got to be a member of the church to work with children and those kind of things. Listen, quit making Sunday on every other Sunday or every 4 weeks or whatever. You can be solid. Solid in your walk with the Lord. Solid in your walk with the Lord. I know you're going to miss some. I get it. I know you're going to miss some. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying don't come leisurely. Come with purpose. But miss with a purpose. God has a plan. And He's chosen us to keep leading. And you don't have to know what He's calling you to do right now. Just be faithful. And God will reveal that to you. God will reveal that. God is not done here. God is not done. But sometimes I feel like we feel like we're done. Quit thinking about the ministries and be a part of them. And if you say, okay, I can't do that, be a part of teach a life group class. Or say, you know what, I'm not ready to do that. Go to a life group class and start learning. Get yourself prepared and ready for service. I'm not going to be around here forever. Scott's not going to be around here forever. We didn't design the church just to be here for us. Designed the church to be what God wants it to be. And God could do a lot with minimal. But the minimal has to be willing. Don't run to another church because it's loud and boisterous. I don't have no place for that. You know what God's watching? God's watching the individual. You know what blessed me today? I don't mean to put him on the spot or anything today. You know what blessed me today? Standing over in that corner, hearing two boys named Jude and Jax. I remembered them. I didn't even know they were coming here. I didn't even know they were part of that family. I thought they were guests. They've been coming a while. Shame on me, right? You know what they were doing over there? I don't know if you guys ever said, they were singing louder than everybody else. And they were into it. And I was like, that's God moving on children. And if the adults won't do it, he'll find it. And there's future leaders right there. And you know, here's the good thing about New Life. We invest in them. And I'll also say, as soon as that little thing came up for Children's Church, they were gone. And you know what happened in that corner? The music went down a little bit. Because you know what? They had another purpose. They sang, they worshiped, and then they were off to do their thing. I just seen a childlike faith, just glad to be here, experiencing worship with the adults, and then get to go do their thing with the kids. What a blessing. And that's what we need, to come back in here again with childlike faith. Come here, sing the song. If you don't like the songs, if you don't care for the music, don't care for the song. Just do it to the Lord. Do it with the Lord anyway. I don't like every song. I'm sure you don't like every message. But you can get something out of every one of them. You can get something out of everything. God's word does not come back void. And you worship, even if you can't sing a lick. That's me. Can't sing a lick. I dare to sing a couple of songs with my wife and maybe a solo way back in the day. But with a crowd this side, ain't no way. And there's no way I would want to do it anyway. Sometimes you just do something to help get something started. And you do it. And nobody laughs. If they did, they all did in the parking lot. And I'm okay with that. Unless your wife gives you that funny smile and you're like, man, you are way off. Yeah. But I wouldn't take those days and change that for anything in the world. The past is great. Presence is good. But I got to believe that God has way more in the future. And I'm just asking you, are you wanting to? Are you ready? Is it time for you to start serving? Is it time for you to step over the threshold and maybe join the church? Is it time for you to say, I got to quit playing around? Whatever it may be, it's time to let God be God in your life. Amen? Father, thank you for an opportunity today. Thank you for this moment. And we give this moment to you. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand. Our time is our altar call.